There are others in the gospel today than the Magi. We usually focus on them, but there are other players at work here in the tale. I'd like to focus on two different sets of them. One is those who are described here simply as Old Jerusalem. So when Herod hears the proclamation of the newborn king, he is troubled, which makes sense for him because now there is an existential threat to his sovereignty, he who is propped up by Roman power now has the potential of an usurper. More than that, one connected with the city of David. And he who's Idumean, he's not even really Hebrew, now has this potential for a local trueborn upstart to gain the people's following and unseat him. So he has a great deal of political reason to be troubled. But Jerusalem should be the place where there would be welcome for the king. On Palm Sunday, Jerusalem greets Christ with hosannas. And yet, there is this way in which all of Jerusalem is tied to Herod. So it shows the problem that exists both realistically in the city, but also just in general of being too wedded to the things of this earth. Jerusalem is the king's city, and when the kingdom is ordered just simply to political ends, then they lose sight of the fact that it is primarily the seat of God. It is only a city that matters really because of the temple. The idea that it is supposed to be the royal city only matters if that kingship is truly anointed by the Lord. If they are God's people, not simply just some other hilltop fort town, but the ones who are chosen by God. So the fact that Jerusalem becomes troubled with Herod means that they have already turned to the more earthly things. They are focused more on what the Romans think, on what Herod thinks, on the reign of terror that might come down on them that they might become involved in, rather than being able to recognize the dawning of the light of grace in their midst. They become afraid rather than joyful. These strangers who come from outside the country are the ones who recognize with joy rather than the people of the promise. Rather than the ones who should have already known that he's coming, who should have been looking for him. Instead, those are the very people who are troubled and who remain locked in their mountain home. And that goes to the second group. Herod calls together the chief priests and the scribes of the people and inquires of them where the Christ is to be born. So again, these are the very people who should know these things. They should have been steeped in prophecy. They should have recognized it. Herod at least knows that they should know this and goes and demands of them, well, what can you tell me? The wise men who have journeyed very far have come to the capital, assuming the same thing. They have a general bearing, but they need something more specific, so they go to the people they think would know where this is. Instead, they find a confused king and a people who are troubled. And then when the learned and priestly are called together, they recognize it. They have the prophecy. They have the words. They are able to give a very specific place to go. And yet they send these strangers from Persia on their way and they stay in the city. Why are these astrologers and wizards from the East ones who go and find Christ? Why don't the chief priests, the scribes of the people, the ones who are entrusted with the words of the promise, the ones who are able to mouth them to other people, to strangers, why do they not recognize what is happening? Why do they not go? Why is it left to these others to come and bring gifts worthy of a king? Both of these, I think, are important for us. First, for us to look at where are our attentions given. How much time do we spend thinking, worrying about, concerned with, troubled by the politics of this age, rather than focused on things that are eternal? How much do we simply get bothered by and point out problems rather than seeking to leave our own locked hearts and fortressed walls and to go out and to live that changed, redeemed reality that we are called to live? We who have been given the word, we who sit here and hear scripture time and time again open to us, who have the word poured forth upon us, how often are we able to mouth all of these truths and yet we might at best point others on the way and then refuse to go? How often are we troubled? How often are we confined? How often do we, who are supposed to rejoice at the dawning light of truth, shy away from it? On today's solemnity of the Epiphany, recognizing the great gift that dawns in our midst, hopefully we can recognize those areas that continue to need to be converted to Him, to allow us to leave those places that we've locked and sealed away, and to go, perhaps blindly, imperfectly, trudging down to the simple crib, to go and cast ourselves before the Lord in worship, to truly allow us to be opened, to allow the riches of our heart to be poured forth at His feet, so that then He can make of us a new creature steeped in truth, and to send us home on different ways, so that we might truly announce Him to all that we meet.